Your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now? Let's just praise Him for a second. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You're doing today with us in our lives as Your children, God. We ask You, Lord God, just to let it be better in Your courts, Lord God, than any other place that we could be today, Lord Jesus. We've come here, Lord Jesus, to worship You, God, to lift You up, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you're a guest here tonight, we just want to welcome you to the greatest church in the world. This is Calvary Gospel Church. And we have a lot going on. We'd like to get connected with you and let you connect with us. If you are here tonight for the first time, there's a little green card that the ushers might have handed you. If you're connecting with us online, you can use that bit.ly link. It just has a couple of questions. One of the most important questions is, would you like to learn more about the Bible? If you would, there's lots of ways that you can come to Calvary Gospel Church and learn more about the Bible. But today is our Bible study night, Wednesday night service, so we're thankful that you're here tonight with us And so we invite you back again this Sunday. We're going to have a special speaker this Sunday, Brother Sportsman, a missionary to Africa. He'll be here with us, not on our normal schedule, but he's been by special invitation. He didn't make his way into Canada. They stopped him at the Canadian border over all this COVID regulations. And so we're happy to be hosting him maybe for a couple of weeks. And so that'll be an awesome time. But you're invited here again Sunday morning if you liked what you felt here tonight. There's also a few announcements. This weekend is a very awesome. Well, let's talk about giving. I'm sorry, I skipped over that. I don't want to mess up my projection, lady. We have four ways of giving here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have online giving at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can also give in person at the clear box back in the back vestibule that's on top of the little desk where the ushers are. You can also give by mail. You can mail in your check or money order or any of those types of things to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can give on the mobile giving app. Who here has the Church Life, I'm sorry, not Church Life, but the Church Center app on their phone? Raise your hand high. Are you guys paying your tithes and offerings on this? Isn't it awesome? You just like click on it, pop, pop, boom, and it's done. You don't have to write a check. You don't have to go get money out of the ATM. You don't have to do anything. It's just super slick, and we thank Phil Demas for being an awesome administrative pastor and getting all that stuff together for us. He's just doing a fantastic job with these things. All right, let's move on to our announcements tonight. We have a very awesome men's ministry weekend, not exactly planned, but we have the men's ministry service this Sunday. It's going to be at 7 p.m. It's going to be right here in the sanctuary, and we got Bryce Grant speaking to us. It's going to be awesome, and I know he just got done speaking. He just got done speaking on Wednesday night, which from what I understand, he did a phenomenal job. I was out of town, but he was our backup speaker. We had a cancellation, and so he's going to be speaking to us again. So that's awesome to hear from our young men. Amen. Also, there's another service. So we're part of a section, Section 3. There's five sections of Wisconsin in our organization. And so one of those sections is Section 3, and so there's a number of churches in Section 3 that gather together once a month. On Saturday morning, the men will be gathering together and going to Monroe. So if anybody wants to go to Monroe to hear Brother Putnam, anybody remember Brother Putnam? Before Brother Booker, it was Brother Putnam as our superintendent. He'll be speaking to us in Monroe. We'll be leaving here about 10 minutes to 8. You can get with me or you can get with Marvin Rembick if you'd like to be a part of that. It'll be an awesome time. And if you'd like to go by yourself, you can just take a snapshot of the sign that's out on the door in the men's bathroom. And so it's going to be an awesome time. That's going to be starting at 9 a.m. We'll be leaving here 10 minutes till 8. All right. Also, this Saturday, April 9th, we got Chris and Nicole. They're getting married. Woo! It'll be this Saturday. Now, everyone is welcome to join in the celebration beginning at 5 p.m. in this main sanctuary, but please understand that the reception is like an invitation-only situation. So if you got one of those invitations a couple months ago, you can come to the reception, but everyone's invited to the actual wedding, and so it'll be an awesome time. And just the last announcement I already did is Brother Sportsman will be here this weekend. So it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jess' message says she's having a real bad headache. So we want to pray for Jess Rivas, Pastor Jess Rivas, that she would have some healing in her life. If you have any special requests or any special needs in your life, would you just lift your hand to the Lord right now, faith believing that God is in this sanctuary here with us today. He met us here. We met him here, actually. And we just want to reach out to the Lord and just pray that God will have a special touch in this sanctuary today. Touch the service. Touch those that are here. And it would be an uncommon night for us that the Lord would move. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord right now and just pray to him. Lord God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do tonight. Lord Jesus, that you will touch every single sick body, every single mind who's struggling, God, every single person who has situations with their family or finances or their work situations or school situations, Lord God, we ask you to bless, Lord, our students, Lord God, as they struggle with different things that they have to deal with in school, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch all of the families, all of the children, everybody, Lord God. We just ask you, Lord God, to bless your entire family here today, God. Would you just touch your children today, Lord God. You bless them, Lord God, and help them, Lord God. God, we just lift you up. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just move in our lives, Lord God. Lead us and guide us, direct us, Lord God, the rest of this week, God. Encourage us, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord God. Have your way in our lives, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.
Spirit. church. Such a sweet presence of His Spirit here. Just turn around to a brother or sister, give them a high five, shake their hand, whatever you're comfortable with. It's good to see Brother Roberto here tonight. So make sure you connect with him on your way out. God bless you. You can be seated. And as Brother Jerry said, we have a missionary, Brother Sportsman. I kind of think of it this way: with a name like Sportsman, how can you go wrong, right? And he will be here with his family. I think he said he had a 3, a 5, and a 7-year-old boys. And they're traveling in a travel trailer, fifth wheel, and they weren't able to get into Canada. And we've had this happen to a number of our missionaries in the last 2 years. And they've just kind of get stranded. And Wisconsin, there's not a whole lot when it comes to churches in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And they're few and far between, so most of them end up here in Wisconsin. And they're going to be parking at our place for as long as they need, but they are going to be out and about. But they will be here Sunday morning, and so just remember that. I'm excited to have them here. And they originally were appointed to the country of Burkina Faso, which is Brother Claude's home country, but because of the civil war going on there, it's very dangerous for ministers, and they are not able to get into the country, so they're being reappointed until the time is safe for them to enter into Burkina Faso. So Sunday morning, they'll be here. We'll have our regular 10 o'clock service, and they will be covering our 11 o'clock service. So last Sunday, we finished our series on the gifts of the Spirit, and I gave you a 5-question sheet of paper that had 5 questions on it, and I hope that you are answering those questions. And tonight, we are going to finish up our series on sticks and stones. So this will be our 4th part of this series on sticks and stones, and we'll get all of this finished before our Easter season. And then next Wednesday evening, I've had quite a few of our younger folks ask me about communion and what exactly all does that entail and such. So we're going to have a little bit of a lesson next Wednesday night on the importance and the necessity on why we have communion. And this is something that's very important to the body of Christ. And it's something that was a lot more common and a lot more frequent in earlier time periods, but we'll get into that on next Wednesday evening. So we're talking about sticks and stones. We've heard that statement. Just a quick review. It's been a few weeks. Our whole staff was at district conference last Wednesday, and we had a great conference. But kind of picking up from 2 weeks ago, sticks and stones might break my bones. You've heard that. You've probably even said that. But names will never hurt me. And boy, could that not be more wrong at times. So we've been talking about words that can cut, words that can hurt, words that can destroy. And how do we as an individual, if we have been hurt, how do we deal with conflict? How do we address offenses? Jesus said to his disciples, he said to many of his followers, that you will be offended. If I could just paraphrase this a little bit, he says, offenses are going to come. Get used to it. Get over it. Don't get so bent out of shape about it. And as I said, that's paraphrased. That's a little more than the message, but I think you get the message. Jesus said it's going to happen. If we are a family and we are the family of God, then sooner or later, we're going to say something that shouldn't have been said. We're going to get nervous behind the pulpit, perhaps, or nervous in a meeting, and we're going to say something that someone may be offended over. But when I look at it, if you get offended, don't get too worried, because it's typically not life-threatening, okay? So Jesus gives us an incredible teaching on offense and how to deal with conflict in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. So this will be our last time to read this passage in this series, but it is a very good passage for us to read, commit to memory, or at least commit to the sequence in which we should deal with offense, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, if your brother or sister sins against you, that is, if somebody offends you, that you, should go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, in private, not telling all your friends and not building up your little camp of support and go to him with half of the church. That is not how Jesus said we deal with our issues with one another. And he says, if he listens to you, you know what? You've gained a brother. That is awesome. That's a win-win. And the responsibility, this is the responsibility of the offended person. Understand, sometimes we can offend someone and never even know we offended someone. So it's very difficult if you don't know that you offended someone when we expect that person that offended us to have some sort of a mental, spiritual telepathy that they are able to read our face, read our minds, read our hearts, and supposed to know if we're offended. So Jesus puts this onus on us. If I'm the offended one, if Brother Tim Hoover offended me, it's not his responsibility to come to me. It's my responsibility to go to him. Got that? It's really simple. It's not that difficult. But if he does not listen, and sometimes that happens, sometimes we can be stubborn, sometimes we can feel like we're in the wrong, or we're in the right, or they're in the wrong, and if he does not listen, then take one or two more people. So back to Brother Tim over here, if we got an issue, then I should take one or two people. So I may take, you know, Brother Josh Stone, and I may take Brother Ben Smith, because they're pretty big guys, and I want to be a little bit intimidating. That's how we think, isn't it? Just says one or two brothers. They don't have to be big Brutus brothers. Doesn't matter. Just take one or two, and then we go. If he won't hear us, we present our case again, and if he doesn't listen, then we have an opportunity to get on Facebook and trash him. That's he wouldn't listen to me with two, so trash him. No, that's not what it says. It says that if he won't listen to you with two, then you have another option to bring it before the whole entire church body. Well, I don't know about you, but if Brother Tim took my parking place out in a cold, rainy day, and he pulled in before I pulled in, and I thought that was my space because that's where I always park, I don't think I'm going to take it to the church to solve that issue. Okay? But nevertheless, this is what Jesus is saying. And he's saying that, listen, if he refuses to listen, go to the church. And if the church, if he refuses to listen at that point, then it says, let him be as a Gentile and a tax collector. And he can't, at that point in time, it didn't get much lower than a Gentile. And the lowest that you could get was a tax collector. It still pretty much follows that same thing today, at least in most of our minds. Let it go. That's what the Lord is saying. He says, you know what? There's just some things that aren't worth getting all worked up over. And just let it go. Now, words play a key role in almost every conflict. Every conflict that I've ever had to be in the middle of trying to resolve, it was all over words. It was all over nouns and adjectives, and it was all over prepositional phrases and the placement of those nouns and adjectives in a sentence. Words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can crush me if we're not careful, can't they? So we talked about the importance of communication in a conflict. This is especially important in a husband and a wife or in a family conflict, that communication. I've known of husbands, and I've never understood this. I knew a man once that said, "Well, you know what I do? I just turn her off. I won't talk to her. Don't want anything to say. I'll go sometimes weeks, won't talk to her. I'm going to prove my point." Yeah, okay. Best of luck with that. By the way, they're not married anymore, but I just thought I'd throw that in, that communication is important. It's especially important in the middle of a conflict. Okay, so if my wife were at odds, yesterday we got in an argument and I fired her. I'm just joking. We were just joking around, and she said something, and I spouted back, just being smart, and she gives me that look that only she can give me, and I said, "Well, if it gets any worse, if you don't like this, I'm going to have to fire you." So today I asked her to do something, and she quickly reminded that I fired her yesterday. But the good thing is in this conflict, we're communicating. That's the important part, is communication. And so we're going to begin tonight with a quick review, and this won't be a long lesson tonight, but first we talked about speaking only to build each other up. And this is talking about conflict. Okay? We're talking about conflict here. We're not talking about just casual conversation in the vestibule. So we're talking about conflict. If you're going to be involved in a conflict, you're trying to resolve a conflict and speak to build each other up. Paul writes to a letter to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:29, where he's dealing with some of these issues. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." And that is a very difficult thing for us as humans to do. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." That's why we covered that point. Speak only to others to build them up, to edify. So if I got a problem, back with Brother Tim, and I'm going to go to Brother Tim, I'm going to say, "Man, brother, you are, as I told him before church, you're like Brother GQ. Some of you aren't quite for sure how to take this. We were messing around before church. So I'm going to go to him. I'm not going to start off by just blasting him about everything. Edifying. Building each other up. Second, be quick to listen. We talked about how that our whole society has a problem with listening skills. We just want to listen to respond. We don't want to listen to learn. We don't want to listen to improve. Most of the time we want to listen, and while we are being dressed down or we are being talked to or whatever, we're not listening to what the other person's saying. We're trying to formulate a response in our mind. So be quick to listen. This is not a skill or a gift that comes naturally to most of us. James covers this quite well when he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." He doesn't say everyone should be quick to become angry, slow to listen, and slow to speak. No. Angry, slow to become angry. Next, we need healing comes with wise communication. When it comes to dealing with confrontation, we must confront others in a clear, constructive, and persuasive manner. I've had people come in, and they've had issues, and they have everything written down on paper, and they go through it. That's what it takes to resolve a conflict, then that's what you need to do. I have people come in, and it's almost like a shotgun. They're just plastering everywhere, and by the time they're done, you really don't even know where to even start or what they're talking about. So we need to make sure that we have to, if we're going to confront someone, it has to be clear, has to be constructive, and has to be persuasive. What does Proverbs 12:18 said? A man is commended. I love this. A man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. So when we act like loose cannons and we just blast, we don't really help anyone that way. We only hurt. And we can't heal a relationship if we're constantly shooting at each other, especially when it comes to the household conflicts. So when confrontation comes our way, how do you respond? Well, as we move on tonight, I would strongly advise, as we get into our next point, that we choose the right place and the right time. Okay, so if we're going to resolve a conflict, when confrontation comes our way and we are going to respond, we need to choose the right place and the right time. Because it is very important, if you're going to resolve a conflict, that timing is everything. Okay, do you hear that? Timing is everything. So just a little bit of an insert here. Wives, when your husband is laying under the car and transmission fluid is dripping all over him, it's not the best of time to come up, kick him in the foot, and yell at him because he didn't bring home the right amount of eggs or right amount of groceries. Okay? I just want to just tell you, you might not get the response that you were hoping to get. Timing. Timing is everything. I've had people come up to me, and I made mention of this a few weeks ago, and just in the middle of a conversation, they just cut right in, and they start off on something, and timing is everything, okay? What I'm saying is choose the right place, choose the right time to deal with your issues, and yes, I will tell you, the place matters a lot. I had a brother, this was a number of years ago, not that many, but came up to me after service, and he had a disagreement with something I said in my message. And I'm okay with that. I don't always say everything to please everybody. I'm not here to preach to make you happy. I'm here to make God happy, and I'm here to help us to grow. I want you to be happy in the process if we learn. But he came up to me, and he didn't like something I said, and I didn't give him the answer that he wanted, and he looked at me and said, "You're stupid." Okay, well, I am sometimes. I can't disagree with that. I've done some really dumb things. But this particular morning, it wasn't necessarily what he was saying. Wasn't even necessarily the tone, but it was the place. If you're going to call me stupid, don't call me stupid standing right here with people all around. You see, there's a right place for everything. There's a right time for everything. Unbeknownst to him, our bishop overheard the conversation, and he demanded to go in the office and talk with the bishop and myself. And when we got in the office, the bishop tore into him, and I quietly backed out because I've been torn into by the bishop. And I don't want that. And I didn't want to be a part of that. So you see, timing is very critical. And the place in which you're going to have a disagreement or a confrontation is very important. I've seen people want to dress someone down in front of other people. That's not a good thing to do. Okay? First of all, I'm just going to say this. It didn't make me look bad that morning. It made this individual look really bad. Okay, I'm not gonna look at anybody here in front of 15, 20, 30 people at the end of an altar call and get in your face and call you stupid. That's going to make me look like, what in the world is up with him tonight or today? That's not how we conduct ourselves. Okay? Now, I know sometimes we get aggravated, we get irate, but I'm just gonna say, listen, if you're struggling in this area right now, whether it's with another brother or a sister or it's husband or it's wife or it's on your job, listen, don't discuss things when the other person is tired or preoccupied with other things. And don't discuss things, husbands and wives, if your husband's in a bad mood or your wife's in a bad mood or you had a bad day. Just wait. The time will come. We just talked about spiritual gifts, and one of the spiritual gifts that is not talked about a lot is the gift of discernment. It's kind of the ability to know, to read people. Look at Brother Dan Powell, and if his face is red and he's got that look on his face and his jaw is set, he's not happy about something. This isn't probably a good time. Maybe I'll wait. And it's the same thing with anybody. Whether it's a neighbor, you got a dispute because he blows his leaves on your lawn. Listen, discernment is a gift. I hate it when I get that call. I know I hear this, I get this a lot. I know, Pastor, you're busy. I don't know if you had a stressful day, but what is what I want to say sometimes just to get a reaction, but what? And also the next, and I kind of covered this already, I kind of jumped ahead of myself a little bit, but don't confront someone, if you have a conflict, don't confront in front of others. Do it alone. You know one thing that I hate seeing? I'm sorry, but I'm kind of stepping on all of our toes tonight. I hate seeing husbands and wives arguing in public. I don't like seeing that. I don't like it when the wife belittles the husband in public, and I don't like when the husband belittles the wife in public. I've had, just hear me out, okay, I think very simple on things. I don't like things complicated. But if you come to me and you're trying to explain to me how stupid your wife is, and you can't believe she's this dumb and does such dumb things, my only question to you is why did you marry her? If she's so dumb, where does that put you? Think about this, okay? Now, I don't think that, I've had people say, oh, my husband's so, my wife's so. Well, wait a minute, that reflects on you. That really reflects on you. So, husbands, wives, don't argue in public. Whether it's at the car dealership, whether it's at church. We have a security system here. Some of you don't even know that. We've caught a lot of arguments on tape. Caught a lot of people picking their nose, too. So you know what? You have no idea. Oh, don't confront with preconceived ideas and impressions. Like I said, I've been around ministry most of my whole entire life. My father's been was my pastor. He's the only pastor I've ever had. Never had another pastor other than Bishop John Grant. And I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot by watching. Probably as much, if not more, by watching how he would handle things. And there are times where people would get upset. They thought someone was talking about them in church. And they would have all these preconceived ideas. They would come to him and say, Sister so-and-so and Sister so-and-so, they were talking about me. I saw them looking across the congregation at me. Saw them pointing. They were laughing. You let this stew and build up. So my dad, being the wise pastor that he was, went and talked to the two ladies, and they're like, what? We don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, no, we weren't laughing at her. Somebody on the other side of her, some kid was doing something that was funny, and they were laughing about kids and talking about kids and grandkids and all this and that. So sometimes we get preconceived ideas and impressions, and we can be way, way, way off. So understand, humanity, if we walk in a room and somebody looks at us and they whisper something to somebody else, it may not be anything to do with us, but our humanity always goes negative. That, oh, they're talking about me. I just walked in the room and they start talking about me. You see, the challenge here really is to believe the best about others because you want others to believe the best about you. So it's important. If you don't, the other person will sense that you have already made up your mind. What's the point in talking to this person? Next, confront a person if you have an issue, confront in person. Did you hear what I said? Confront in person. In today's society, so much is done by text messages, emails, Zoom meetings, social media. This is a big problem today, and this is my biggest pet peeve with electronic devices, is you can't solve what needs to be solved via email. I'm sorry. Doesn't work. I say, well, I'll just shoot them a text. No, it needs to be, I would like to meet with you in my office or in your office, or I'd like to meet with you somewhere, wherever you want to meet, and we want to meet face to face. And whenever possible, talk in person. Why is that? Because facial expressions and body language speaks volumes as to how we are thinking. Now, I know that personal meetings are not always possible, but if that's the case, then you have to communicate by way of using the English language, whether it's emails, text message, or a letter thrown in a mailbox, whichever way it may be. I'm going to strongly suggest if you're in a conflict and you're seeking to resolve that conflict, let a third party read your email or letter or text before you hit send. Now, you probably know this, but I don't know that we think like this all the time. When you hit send, and I've received it, you can delete it on your side, but I still have it on mine. Okay? I have known of so many people that have got themselves into so much hot water that they shouldn't even have had to have gotten themselves into simply because they fired off a scathing email and didn't think about it before they hit send. Listen, I've written emails in my flesh, angry, and I've let them sit there for a day or two and gone back after and just hit delete. Because I begin to realize that, you know what, this is kind of foolish. It's not worth it. Some things in life, some things are worth fighting for, and some things just aren't. So I just want to just, as a precaution, have you ever been blindsided by an email or a text message like that? Probably happened to most all of us. So listen, just because you delete it doesn't mean that it's disappeared. So in person, if you can, and when you meet, I just want to say plan your words. This is really simple, really basic. Plan your words. This is important. Write it down. If I have a tough meeting, I will spend a lot of time sitting down, writing down what I want to cover in that meeting. I sat on the district board, and we had to deal with pastors and issues sometimes in churches that could be very volatile and very sticky. And I want to go in, if I'm going to have to deal with the conflict, I want to go in and I want to be prepared. I want to think things through. Yes, I want to use the right adjectives. I want to use the right nouns. I want to be proper. I don't want to go in like a machete, just swinging, and what's ever in the way, let's just cut it up. No, we're talking about people and people's lives. We're talking about relationships. A lot of times we're talking about brothers and sisters that someday we're going to spend eternity with. So, as a person, most meetings, we settle our differences. And it's difficult sometimes when you call in a party that's having a conflict and one person just rambles on and on and on and on and on, and they never quite get to the point. Get to the point. Write it down. Get to the point. And in responding, if there's have an angry reaction, just remember the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. This is really good. I've encouraged us all to read Proverbs, one chapter every day, and just keep reading it. Because this is in there, Proverbs 15, it's halfway through. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle voice. We're almost done. A gentle voice and a relaxed posture and calm gestures can always help. Some people get wired. I've been in meetings before where people come in, and I mean, they are fired up. And nothing ever gets resolved. I was in a meeting where a pastor came in, and he was upset. And he pulls out his membership card. Slams it down on the table and lets everybody know that if I don't get what I want, I'm leaving and this is staying here. Well, that's a good way to solve a problem. Well, then leave. Doesn't affect me any. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But still, that's not. If you look coming to fight, okay, this is so important. Okay, if you look coming to fight, then chances are you will get a fight. If that's what you look coming, then you're going to get it. And be objective. Be objective. I hear this sometimes. Well, you know, I thought. Well, I'm not for sure, so-and-so. I'm not for sure who it was that told me. Well, if this is an issue and you don't even know who and you don't even have details on it, then it really probably isn't much of an issue. Fastest way to turn people off is come in not having the facts, exaggerating. And if you're going to use the Bible, and this is our last point, if you're going to use the Bible, okay, hear me now, use it carefully. All right? And I say that because sometimes we like to cherry pick our scriptures, feeling that because we're using the Word of God, it gives us more authority. So if you're going to use Scripture, it needs to be done just as Scripture does to us. It's done with great care. It's done with humility. It's possible to use the Bible to tear people down. I've seen that happen enough times. People use the Bible to tear other people down and to destroy them. Listen, that's not how we win friends and influence people. Now, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Don't pull verses out of context to serve your purposes. And don't give the impression that you have all the answers. Recognize that you also have limits as to what you can accomplish. You can raise concerns, suggest solutions, encourage a different way of thinking, but you cannot. Hear me. You cannot force someone to change or force someone to agree with you. There have been meetings I've been in that we've just had to say, you know what? Let's just agree to disagree. And we've left it at that. But Scripture says, when the lots are cast, or when you've made a decision, all contention should cease. So that means if Brother Ty and I agree to disagree on something, then you know what? It's over with. We're done. Not going to bring it up anymore. Brother Ty's not going to bring it up anymore. It's over with. We're finished. Because we're going to have to let God just take it from there. I'm going to let God be God in my life, and he's going to let God be God in his life. We can meet each other in church. We can shake hands with each other. We can love one another. We can go out and have dinner with one another. We can fellowship with one another. Just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to hate each other's guts for the rest of our lives. That's how the world is, isn't it? That's how it is now. You don't agree with me? I hate your guts. Or trash talk you. So let's stand. What did Jesus say? And I've said this many times. What did Jesus say was a telltale sign on how to determine who's a disciple of him or not? It's not about how they dress, is it? We put a lot of emphasis. It's not how they walk. It's not how they look. It's not how much tithing they give. It's not how many gifts of the Spirit they have. It says, you're going to know my disciples by their love one for another. That's how you're going to know. So that means if Brother Nathan Rossing and I get in a dispute and we settle that dispute, we go on loving one another. That's how you're going to know that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. It's so important in a world full of hate, in a world full of vitriol. Just amazed sometimes at what I read. It's like, how can people hate so bad? How can people hate so much? I don't know about you, church, but I want to let my fruit show. I want to let my fruit show more than it's ever shown before. And understand, just because someone offended you, doesn't give you permission to show bad fruit. That's when we show our good fruit. hope this series has been a blessing to you. I encourage you, no matter what conflict, no matter what type of offense that you've had to deal with, maybe you're the one that's offended, or you have done the offending, and whatever side you sit on this, this is good, solid, biblical principles on how to deal with it, exactly how Jesus wants us to deal with it. So as our praise team, Sister Sarah, begins to sing tonight, we've done a lot of searching our hearts. And if I've offended anyone here, if I've ever done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. I don't want anybody. I don't want to be at odds with anyone. Sometimes you have to be the pastor. Not just because your pastor doesn't give you authority to just be mean and ruthless. There's a lot of difference between being rude. So if you know, or maybe you have an issue with a brother or sister, maybe they're not here, maybe it's a family member, but I want to encourage you, use these principles. Get this off your chest. Get this out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. We spend so much time, so much energy is wasting time and energies on things that don't necessarily always matter. Sister Sarah's going to sing. I'm just going to open up this altar tonight. God bless you.
Thank you.
is, Lord, again, church, thank you so very much for coming out tonight. As I said, this concludes our lesson on dealing with conflict, sticks and stones. And, God bless you. Remember, we have Brother Sportsman going to be here Sunday morning. And, we're looking forward to that in our 11 o'clock service. And next week, we will be talking about communion. And next Friday evening, it's already Easter. Can you believe that? Coming up. Wow. How time flies. But we'll be having a Good Friday service. We will be taking communion in that Good Friday service. And then we'll have Easter Sunday. So God bless you. Good to see you. And we will see you Saturday if you're coming to the wedding. Friday night if you're coming to the rehearsal. But we'll be here. God bless.